I've been thinking a lot about the word messy. Maybe it's because I have 2-year-old twin boys at home and our house is in a constant state of mess. Or maybe it's because I found a really interesting blog this week called Messy Jesus Business. Or maybe it's just because the world often seems like a messy place, with violence and hatred, death and sadness all around us. Well, things were a mess back in Isaiah's time, too. You see, the people of that time missed the mark repeatedly in terms of living in peaceful, just, and kind ways. The text you will soon hear is one of promise within a book that is often filled with words of judgment. The passage you will hear is part of the story of Israel's redemption and God's promise to bring light and hope despite death and darkness. We should pay attention, since Isaiah promised that things happen that hint at Emmanuel, God with us. And then things were a mess in Jesus' time, too. Yet in the passage, you will soon hear Mary sings a song of praise to God. She sings a song of praise to God who shakes up the status quo, who lifts up humble people like her and chooses her rather than a queen or princess to be the bearer of God's son. She foreshadows her son's prophetic ministry that will do the same thing. The people surrounding Elizabeth and Mary are confused and fearful, but Mary and Elizabeth are calm, are faith-filled, and are joyous. These passages remind us that even when life is messy and really hard, God is present, and that if we open our eyes and hearts, we can see that love is growing all around us.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house, and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly, "You're so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true." And Mary said, "I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on the earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet the callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and plied on the mercies, piled them high. That's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months and then went back to her own home. May God bless our understanding of this reading. Thanks be to God.
Earlier this week, I found this amazing blog called Messy Jesus Business. It's written by a sister, Sister Julia, Catholic nun, and in it has great pearls of wisdom about life and about the world. In one of the posts that I read, she really describes our lives and the messiness and the joy all mixed together. She says she was home one day and a family friend called. You see, they were dear friends in college. And a family friend called to update them about their daughter. And the daughter, Julia explains, is like a child saint. You see, she's just this wonderful child, 4 years old, likes to talk to her stuffed animals and have them pray and teach them to pray, and talks to her siblings, older and younger, about God and God's love. And so when the phone rang, Julia thought she'd hear another cute story. And then she heard that this young gift from God, this young child, had cancer, leukemia, and was going to have to go through 2 years of treatment. They were calling for prayers from Julia and from her community. And so her heart was heavy, Julia. She hung up the phone and started crafting an email to all her friends and family asking for prayers for this beloved child of God. And as she was crafting that email, the phone rings again, and it's her dad. Her dad's voice, you could tell, was filled with joy. Her little sister had the baby, the long-expected baby, and Julia was an aunt for the first time. Joy filled her heart. She hung up the phone and went back to that email and added a line about the joy and about the blessing that God had bestowed upon her family. This mixture of joy and sadness, of beauty and tragedy. You see, God makes this mysterious world that's full of paradox. How do we make sense of it? Well, I'm convinced as Advent people, as faithful people, that despite the messiness, the complexity, that we are called to see the signs of Emmanuel, God with us. You heard that from the Isaiah passage, God with us, that we are called to see those grace-filled, God-filled moments. Bill was standing on the line, leaving the grocery store, eager to be done, you know that feeling, wanting this chore to be over. And in front of him, he noticed a young woman with a baby on her hip and a cart full of groceries. And he thought, I bet she carefully picked out each one of those groceries. He saw coupons in her hand. I bet she had some things in her hand that she had to put back. And so the total is given, and the young woman gives all the money in her hand and the coupons. And the cashier says, it's not enough. You have to take out some of those groceries. You don't have enough money. Bill, without hesitating, says, I'll cover it. I'll cover the difference. The clerk says, no, no, she has to take something out. No, no. Bill says, I got it. And from behind Bill comes a 20 and another 20 and another 20. And Bill said it looked like they were in line at the casino where money was just flowing forward. And guess what? They paid for those groceries for that young mom. And there, standing with her baby, she's crying, crying tears of gratitude because, yes, she's poor. Because, yes, she couldn't pay for those groceries alone. Tears of gratitude. And Bill explains that this small little encounter on the grocery store line isn't going to change the messiness of the world or of our lives, but he explains that in that moment, it was God-filled, grace-filled, and that instead of all just paying our bill as we leave the grocery store and worrying about ourselves, there was a little community created of brothers and sisters where hope and joy were evident. You see, the world is a messy and mysterious place filled with paradox. Our lives are beautiful yet really sad. As Advent people, as people of faith, I'm convinced that we need to look for signs of Emmanuel, God with us, and that like Mary, we sing praises to God. You know, this time of year can be rather poignant, can be a joyous, happy time for many, but it can be sad too. Well, Elizabeth was putting away the Christmas decorations one year, about 2 years ago. Her mom was helping her. You know, that's really not the best task of Christmas, is taking down all the decorations, but her mom was sitting there helping her, and her mom said to Elizabeth, "I probably won't be around this time next year." You see, Elizabeth's mom was gravely sick, and she knew that she wasn't going to live another year. She said, "Honey, but I have an idea. I want to buy a present for Augie, her grandchild. I want to wrap it up, and I want to leave it with the Christmas stuff. So when next year you unwrap all the decorations, there will be a present for Augie." And that's what she did. She went out and bought a gift and wrapped it, and they left it with the Christmas decorations. She passed away in August, the mother, the grandmother. And it was a hard time, and Elizabeth tried to keep it all together, tried not to show too much emotion around Augie, because you see, Augie was really struggling, this 9-year-old boy, and said, "I just want to see Grandma one more time." So Elizabeth tried to hold it together. And as she was unwrapping those Christmas decorations, because December did roll around again, she saw that present, burst into tears, and decided she couldn't give it. She couldn't handle it. The decorations went up. On Christmas morning, the presents were given, the food was eaten, hugs were shared, and this nagging feeling for Elizabeth, "I have to give that present." So she said to her family, "There's one more gift." She came up from the basement with the gift to my dearest Augie. Tears started flooding. She couldn't get through it. Augie popped up off the couch, ran over to his mom, and finished reading. "To my dearest Augie, Merry Christmas. I miss you and love you. Nani." Elizabeth hadn't seen her son smile so broadly. He had seen his grandmother one last time. Our lives are a mixture of beauty and sadness. Our world is a mystery filled with paradox. But Isaiah says that a branch will grow out of that stump, that hope is there, hope persists. I'm convinced that we need to be those Advent people, constantly looking for signs of Emmanuel, God with us. We are those Advent people, looking, searching, knowing that even in the darkest, messiest time of life, God is with us. Maybe in a friend, maybe in a stranger on a grocery store line, maybe in a beloved grandmother or grandfather. Friends, it's Advent. Christmas is coming. Jesus will be born. And we are called as Advent people to open our hearts and mind to Emmanuel, God with us. Friends, it is Advent and Christmas is coming, and we are called to open our hearts and minds to the moments, the God moments in all of our lives that are filled with hope and peace and love and joy. Friends, it's Advent and Christmas is coming. And as faithful people, we are called to notice these God moments and then share them with the world. Amen.